The next set of cases will be reviewed together, items 3 and 4. This is for PR 2020-4457. The item 3 is the preliminary plat 2021-25, waiver 2021-33, temporary deferral of sidewalk 2021-34. And item number 4 is the EPC site plan sign off, SI 2021-1506. This is for Barbara Mueller at Quivira Drive between Vista Vieja and Retablo. And Rio Grande Engineering is the agent. Good morning, Mr. Sewell.
Good morning.
Can you give your name, firm, address?
Yes, my name is David Sewell, Rio Grande Engineering. My address is 9171 Glendale Northeast.
Do you swear firm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. You can go ahead and give us an update. You've received comments, and I think some things have advanced. So you go ahead and give us your overview.
Yes, Madam Chair. We did receive comments. At the last DIB hearing, we made a revised submittal addressing those comments on Friday. We also made a submittal on the methods of how we measured our 45-foot setback for the open space on Wednesday of last week. I did address, I believe, all the comments. I had received some additional comments late yesterday or middle of the day yesterday. I subsequently addressed those comments and resubmitted them, and I think I've addressed all the comments, but I look forward to hearing any additional comments or approval.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sewell. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak on item 3 or 4, which is the same parcel at Quivira Drive Northwest? Please raise your hand, press *9 if you are on the phone. Not seeing anyone, let's go to board comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. The only outstanding comment we have is payment of the pro rata. So we're willing to accept delegation if available on that. But other than that, we have no outstanding comments. Thank you.
Okay. And Mr. Carter, would that be on the plat or the site plan for your delegation?
This is Blaine for the Water Authority. That would be on the plat.
Okay. Code enforcement.
This is Charles Massis with code enforcement. We have no comment or rejection on the plat. Concerning the site plan, we had some discussion last week about a few things. One of them being notes that were provided, general notes. And I noticed that there was a general note change. I think it's note number 5 now that states basically that all future development to be governed by the IDO regulations. So that's kind of a catch-all statement in a way. It says that you're going to meet all requirements within the IDO. In regards to that, there's still a and something that would probably be helpful to capture on this site plan would be the note that within all low-density residential development, there's a requirement per IDO section 511C2 that there are 2-inch window recess or casings required for all low density residential development. And the other one would be that any low density residential development also requires a 20-foot driveway per IDO section 53C3B. Outside of that, one last one, yes. And this was the discussion last week. The compliance with the solar access building height requirements. That's in IDO section 510C, table 510.1. And just within that note that any buildings, because there is an allowance to have buildings up to 26 feet in height for 50% of the building footprint, that would be limited for anything that has a certain build within a certain distance of the northern lot line. So probably something that needs to be addressed is to ensure that we've got that. And I didn't know, notice Mr. Sewell, if you had a comment in there reflecting that specific thing, other than note number 5, which is that you're basically going to meet all the IDO requirements. So
this is David Sewell. And from our last discussion, those comments were in the IDO, the new IDO 2020, not the 19. And so when I added that note, we conform to the 19, I think. That's why I covered everything and I didn't add those the more specific things because those don't apply to us. Those apply to the 2020 IDO as far as I understand.
I believe that even the 2019 IDO has these same requirements.
This is Chair Wolfley. So Mr. Maestas, I think the driveway, no, recessed windows, I think is no, and solar access, I do not know. Ms. Gould? And one thing I'm wondering is, this is kind of a subdivision that has a site plan, which isn't as ordinary today. So Ms. Gould, can you help guide us that, do we want to have these notes on this site plan? You know, does, and Mr. Maestas weigh in too, because as this goes through your offices for review, as they're doing building permits on this, where is this information best held, or is referencing the 2019 IDO sufficient? So let me first hear from Ms. Gould.
So this is Maggie Gould. So Madam Chair, I think that as long as the correct version of the IDO is referenced, we should be able to go back and look at that and determine what applies. I'll defer to Mr. Maestas since he knows how his staff is going to be looking at these building permits as they come in.
Charles Maestas with Code Enforcement, and I do have my 2019 IDO in front of me, and all the items I did request are in there. But as I said, note number 5 points to the IDO 2019 requirements to be met. So everything, if it has to meet that 2019 IDO, then basically everything is covered. So we can work with that.
Okay. Mr. Sewell, are you good with that? It sounds like that's what you're recommending in the first place.
This is David Sewell. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. And all right, let's go to Parks and Recreation.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. Just to start, I wanted to comment on that note that you were just discussing. It's my understanding that the EPC site plan was submitted to make a later IDO iteration. So that's why it was subject to the 45-foot buffer. So I'm worried that that note would be confusing compared to, like, if someone was to look at the site plan in the future, because I believe the 45-foot buffer is in a later IDO iteration, and that's why it was applicable at the time that the EPC application was submitted.
Okay, that's an excellent comment. And
this is David Sewell. Can we double check that? I do believe that it's in the 2019, but I could be incorrect.
Okay, sorry. I think we should check that. But that was something that wasn't part of my comments, but just we should check it. My other comments were that it's that northeast corner is still a concern with the building envelope. I was able to speak with the Open Space Division, and they're also concerned about that. So that would need to be changed on this plan to shorten that building envelope in that area. And then we did want to work with the Open Space Division a little further about defining the fencing and the landscape buffer plant material. The area that is shown on the southern border, it was determined that that would overlap with the landscape buffer required by the adjacency to major public open space, but it's not shown on the landscape plan as what would be provided in that area. So it's a little confusing about, are you having an HOA that would be managing the area, and is the fence going to be on the outside or the inside of it? And I guess those are my questions to start with in order to determine and how that would be applied, because that that property would then transfer over to the city. So would you, were you planning to have the fence on the inside of the right of way dedication?
This is David Sewell. This is David Sewell. One of your comments about being transferred to the city, I'm not sure I understand that. That seems like a taking of my land. I did provide the buffer.
Just one second. Mr. Rodenbeck, can you scroll to the other end of this site plan to the south? Yeah, there. Okay, so we're talking about this land in gray that also has a solid line on either side of it, correct? Just that to make sure correct. We're talking about the same thing.
That is correct. And so we are identifying, this is David Sewell, I'm sorry. This is this, we are identifying the 45 foot open space setback on the site plan as well as the plat. That was a comment. So it's on both documents. I wasn't anticipating on transferring any land to the city. I didn't realize that was a condition. We did provide the setback and we're not building anything on there. We do intend to build according to the IDO requirements. We did plan on building the fence on the property line itself and then having that landscape buffer, and the landscaping would conform to what is identified and what's required in the IDO.
This is Cheryl Somerfield with Parks and Rec. Can we, I feel like maybe I'm confused about, you know, what is shown on the plat. The plat shows right away. And from what I understand, that overlaps with this gray area that you're showing on the site plan. So perhaps there needs to be a note or something that would show, you know, how those overlap, because it's not exactly clear.
This is David Sewell, and I had this was an issue that came up at the last hearing, and I sent three different exhibits as to how it could be measured. I believe it should be measured from the existing property line.
Mr. Sewell, I'm going to interrupt you because you've won that battle. Ms. Somerfield is trying to figure out where the lot fence line would be, and therefore, is there going to be a strip of this buffer that's outside the private property owner's fence and not part of the public right of way?
Or part of the public right of way? Like what part of the gray that you're showing here is actually going to be public property?
And I don't think you mean public property, Ms. Somerfield. I think you mean visible property. You mean outside the private fence of lots 1 and 23, their side yard fence. Is that correct?
I guess that's my question. So on the plat, when that part is dedicated public right of way, are you going to, is it just like an easement? So it's part of, you're still going to have it as part of the property, or is it then become part of the street?
This is David Sewell, and the requirement was a setback. It wasn't an easement. It wasn't a granting of land. So my intention was to provide that setback. I do want to put a fence on the property line and have it visible from the public. They can see in. So I do have, I show an exhibit of a fence that has, I believe it's 3 foot tall and a 2 foot wrought iron fence on top of it so that it's visible to the public. And I think that was, it's my understanding, that was the intent. On that exhibit, on that, it's not on the computer right now, but it does show.
Can we look at the plat, the preliminary plat?
This is David Sewell. I don't have the ability to put it on.
I have it. If you want me to share my screen.
If you could, please. And there was a supplemental submitted yesterday late to show that on the plat itself. I just want to make sure you have that one too.
Okay, I'm not sure.
Okay, Ms. Somerfield, you can share your screen.
This is Jay Rodenbeck here. I can pull this up. I was having issues with my PDF. I can pull up the preliminary plat. I was just having issues.
Wait one second. Ms. Somerfield, do you have it?
I do.
Okay, here. Go ahead and let's let her show it because she can show the one that she is wants to ask the questions about.
Okay.
Okay, I'm just asking about, can you see this?
Yeah, and zoom in if you can, Ms. Sommerfeld, on that. Yeah, that's good. Perfect.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. So, when you look at this area and you look at the site plan, is the gray area on the site plan the same, like overlapping this area, or does it start right here where
This is David Sewell. It starts somewhere in between there. Right now, my property line goes all the way to the south. That's my property line. There is a right of way where Vista Vieja is right now, and then there was a permanent easement granted for waterline and public roadway, and that is we are going to be dedicating that easement as right of way with this document with this plat. Measurement of 45-foot setback is from back of curb, which is in essence 10 feet south of property line. So it's
somewhere in between here.
It's 10 feet. Yes, ma'am. It's 6 foot, excuse me, it's 10 foot south of that line that says C6.
Okay, this
is measured from the back of curb.
Where did you expect to have, are you expecting to fence the property with the view fence?
This is David Sewell. Yes, ma'am. We have on the landscape plan, we show a fence that all the fences that abut public open space, we show a 3-foot block wall with 2 foot of wrought iron on top of it, so that it is visually accessible to the public, and we believe that was the intent. At least that's my preposition.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I think that the open space, if they have discretion at this point, may ask for a wall at the northern part, but the view fence was seems like it would be a great solution for this area. I guess I'm just confused about where it would be located on this property. Is it going to be located here?
This is David Sewell. That is correct. On the property line, I feel that the private property owner should have use of his land. He is. They will comply to the 45-foot landscape setback that was required, but to dedicate that and to leave it away from the private property owner, I think is unfair and onerous, and in a way kind of a taking of land without compensation, which I disagree with. So I think we...
Mr. Sewell, this is Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec. I'm not trying to argue about anything. I'm just trying to be clear, that's all.
This is David, so neither am I, I apologize.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec. In this area, what is going to be located? Is this going to be pavement or landscape?
This is David Sewell. It already is. It's already a road. There is a road. There's a curb 10 foot south of the future property line. And then there is a 4 foot landscape buffer, and then a 6 foot sidewalk. So it exists already.
Okay. So on the site plan, you have like say a line here and then it goes gray in here, and then the fence would be about here. And then for this area, can you, I don't know, make some type of statement that any landscaping would be per open space approval?
I believe I did on the site plan already. That was a comment from EPC. But let me look at it.
Yes, I see it.
This is David Sewell
with Parks and Rec. So I think that's, so, you know, I think our comment was to make this revision, and then I see this note, and one of the things was just to, I guess, determine the fencing. Open Space made a comment that they would make perhaps want a wall here, but think, you know, it's per, if it's per IDO that the fencing meets all requirements, then that's what, you know, we're trying to make meet. Sorry. So that's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And this one makes sense to me for lots 1 and 23. You're saying that lots 1 and 23 on the south end, and this is Chair Wolfley, include the buffer area. Is that correct?
This is David Toole. That is correct.
Okay. And that other thing we were looking at, I don't know if that was the plat, but that didn't look as clear to me. Okay. So lot 23 includes all of that area, including where it says open space setback.
This is David Sewell, that is correct. You have two curved C1 and C6, and those are the property line.
C1 and C6 are the property line. Okay. And then where is the sidewalk that already exists? Is it north or south of the lettering C1 and C6?
This is David Sewell. It's directly south. The property line is essentially the north edge of that sidewalk.
Okay. Could you go to the other graphic, Mr. Rodenbeck?
Mr. Rodenbeck, Cheryl has the screen.
You want me to,
okay. So on this one, where is the sidewalk?
This is David Sewell.
This is your plat, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. This is David Sewell. The sidewalk, I don't show line work on plats. That's why it's not as clear.
Yeah.
I just show the legal lines. The sidewalk is on the south side of both line C1 and C6. So okay. It's in the right-of-way line, but it that is the right-of-way line where the sidewalk ends.
Okay. All right. And I just want to... make sure Ms. Wolfenberger hears all that and is good with all that. So let's continue in our order and go to hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology. Hydrology has an approved grading and drainage plan with drainage report with engineer stamp date of January 3rd, 2021. We have no objections.
Okay, thank you. Transportation.
Good morning, Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. Transportation has no objection to any of the proposed actions. If any landscaping is added during the building permit process, please make sure that those meet clear distance requirements along the main road. Thank you.
Thank you. This is David Sewell, and we do show the clear site triangle on the site plan.
Okay. Planning comments.
So this is Maggie Gould. So basically the conversation we already had about the open space buffer, that is acceptable as it's shown, and the IDO does not provide specific measurement points for that buffer. And we had some conversation about clarifying the wall height and the fencing. That's been taken care of. And then noting the buffer, which is also shown, I believe we've addressed the easement and dedication language and the future IDO. I'm also looking at the notice of decision from the EPC, which was July 15th of 2021.
I'm sorry, Ms. Gold, would you state that again?
Sure. So the entire part or just the last bit?
Well, I think you're trying to help us sort out the IDO note, but the NOD date is not the important one. It's the application date.
Well, so Madam Chair, I would say that the EPC site plan was approved prior to the August 1st deadline of the 2020 IDO. So the site plan that the EPC approved would be subject to that 2019 IDO. And so what we're looking at
on the site plan. So stop a second.
Sure.
These IDO dates are extremely confusing. The 2019 IDO, And we might just have to do delegation on this to make sure, sure. the note is correct. And that might be a better idea than trying to go through all this. But the 2019 IDO was the applicable IDO until July of 2020.
Well, until August, I believe August, either July 30th or August 1st.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. The 2019 IDO became effective on July 2020. And then, so the 2019 IDO ran from July 2020 until, this gets really confusing. I'm confusing myself the more I try to unwrangle it. So
Madam Chair.
I think we'll just do a delegation item to get the correct IDO date on site plan. Will that work for everyone?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Biazar.
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Shahab Biazar. I had a question. Jay, could you zoom in to the south side? I guess there was a confusion about the lot lines and what's... could you zoom in earlier just on the south end? Yeah, if you could zoom in a little bit more where, you know, they have those lettering C1 and I think it was C7. Just for clarification, C1 and C6, that's where the property line is for lot one, right, David?
This is David Sewell, that is correct.
So, okay, I guess what the confusion is, there's another lot line to the north, just above the where it says open space. Is that also supposed to be a lot line or that's just, what is that line?
That is the open space line. I mean, it's a different line type than the property line. It's a solid line. It's the open space setback defined by.
So I would recommend that we'll show that as a dash line and not because that almost it's creating, in my opinion, creates a confusion. And it seems like it's a lot line and that's where lot one ends, basically. I think that that's just a drafting. In my opinion, I would just change that to a dash line. I mean, or something else that would, because it, in my opinion, is creating some sort of confusion. That's all I have to say.
This is Cheryl Somerville with Parks and Rec. I'm also wondering if you could just put a, like, a, you know, 40, 45 foot or like a measurement that would show where the 45 foot starts and ends.
This is David Sewell. The intent was, I mean, I put that on the site plan. And I did label it, I textually defined how it was measured. I'm not sure it's both. I can put on the plot if you'd like me to, but there's a lot going on in that area, and I'm not sure it clarifies anything. I'd like to see if you would consider just keeping it on the site plan, because that governs the building permit, future building permits.
Madam Chair, this is Shahab Biazar. Jay, could you zoom in a little bit? I think Mr. Sewell has some dimensions where the setback to the building would be. It's like, so there are some dimensions on either where the setback lines are. It's like, to the right a little, yeah. So there are dimensions there. I think they're like 40 feet or something.
This is David Sewell. They're approximately 30.35 feet. And as I mentioned, this is the setback was measured from the back of curb. So that's why so the face of curb is essentially 14.65 feet from property line is the existing face of curb.
Okay. So yeah, they're open. So the setback extends into the right of way about approximately 14 to 15 feet.
14 feet and it goes from the top back of curb.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay, any other questions on that?
No, Madam Chair, this is Shahab Biazar.
All right, so Ms. Gold, if we can do this quickly, Mr. Maestas nicely put the dates of the effective dates of the IDO. Mr. Sewell, when did you apply for your site plan with the EPC?
I'm checking right now.
Okay.
believe it was January or February of 2021.
Okay.
Let's see. Actually, it was the third month of 2022. January, February, March of 2021.
Okay. And we might just verify all of that on delegation, just because I have to sign off on it anyway. So, okay. Let's see. I think we did everyone's comments. Did I miss anything? Please speak up if I did. And there's no infrastructure list, correct, on this, Mr. Sewell?
This is David Sewell. I do have an infrastructure list. I'm not sure what's going to be attached to the site plan or the plat.
I believe that was the plat, but this is Maggie Gold. Sorry, but I will defer to our engineering colleagues.
Madam Chair, this is Shahab Biazar. Yeah, we will tie it to the plat.
Tie it to the plat?
Yes.
Okay. And Mr. Maestas, that note that we had concern about on the IDO date is on the site plan, correct?
Madam Chair, that's correct. This is Charles Maestas with Code Enforcement. He has a note indicating the correct IDO in his site plan, general notes.
Okay. Okay, let's start with the EPC site plan. Item number four, because normally we the EPC approves the site plan before the plat, so we will continue that. Is there a motion? Okay, I will ask each board member to vote to approve or deny the application. Item number four for an EPC site plan sign off. And this will not have the infrastructure list, so just the site plan sign off. Which is item number four. And so vote on that. And for some reason, all of a sudden, we can have a delegation on site plans, correct, Ms. Gould? My brain just went blank for a minute.
This is Maggie Gould. Yes, Madam Chair, that is correct.
Okay. And so if you have any delegation item, please summarize that item in the time needed. So this is just the site plan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. I vote for approval of item number four, EPC site plan sign off. Thanks.
Code enforcement.
This is Charles Maestas with Code Enforcement. I vote to approve item number four for the site plan EPC.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. We would take the delegation on an adjustment to the building envelope at the northeast corner.
Ms. Sommerfeld, I need you to speak a little bit louder. I couldn't hear that. It sounded like you wanted a delegation.
Yes. This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. Do I say that I approve with delegation, or just say I take delegation?
Either one, but I approve with delegation. Sounds good.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I approve with delegation to adjust the site plan for building permit, building envelope at the northeast corner of the subject site.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what happens to the northeast corner of the site.
To adjust, this is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, to adjust the building envelope to be shorter in that at the northeast corner to accommodate the buffer.
Okay, we don't have anything called building envelopes in our lexicon, but so I think if your delegation is to adjust the northeast corner open space setback.
On this page that we're looking at, if you scroll down a little bit, the building envelope on the eastern lots. So lot 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. If we could make the building envelope on lot 12 look exactly the same as those, that would be what we're going for.
This is David. Can I speak?
Go ahead, Mr. Sewell.
I'm not sure I understand that comment. So it's a 45-foot setback. The open space is catty-cornered, so therefore it's a circle, not a square. So if I squared them off, I would be getting more than 45 feet. So I believe I show it graphically correct. It's a radius from that the northwest corner. And my intention was just to change a line type so it was more clear that the building envelope doesn't go into that circle, but I did not intend to cut off, square that lot off. That was never the intent, because that's taking more than what I think is required. I believe it's shown properly, and it just needs to show, I need to show the line type so it's clear. Okay. That's what I understand.
Yeah, and this is kind of awkward during the middle of voting, but because we're there, we're going to clean it up. We have that question as well, Ms. Sommerfeld. Remember, this is the backyard, and so they actually could do a buffer like this in the backyard, because that probably...
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I not quite understanding if the building is intended to be curved in that way. I don't think it shows a house the way that it would be built. Or maybe eliminate the dash line completely.
This is Maggie Gould, I think, and Mr. Sewell and Ms. Sommerfeld, please clarify. That lot looks like it clips the corner off of the dashed area, which I think we are viewing as a building envelope. And it sounds like what Mr. Sewell and what Madam Chair is saying is that this is the backyard of that property. The building itself will not extend into that buffer, but there will be outdoor space that is usable by the residents. And so I think the question is then, is that dashed line, is that dashed line showing us the extent of possible buildings, in which case maybe there needs to be a note or some clarification, just that corner, the corner overlap there won't have a building in it.
This shows Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. So the dashed line is not indicating the building envelope. Is that what you're saying?
This is David Sewell. No, the dash line does include the building envelope. I think your comment about it looking like the ones on the south, you're wanting us to square it up, and that's excluding more building than what can be done. All okay. I'm doing is pulling off the 45 feet from as a radius point, because it's 45 feet from that corner. It's not square. It's just it's from the corner. It's the radius.
Okay. This is Chair Wolfley. I think we're stumbling over building envelopes and building footprints. So Mr. Sewell, you're not intending to have a building, an actual structure in that buffer area that's a quarter circle.
This is David Sewell. That is correct. And the site plan would prohibit that even if I wanted to.
Right.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld.
Ms. Sommerfeld, can you hold 1 second? It might be clearer if in the delegation should just be to make that a dotted line, just to make it clear that there wouldn't be the actual building footprint of a building in that area, because building envelopes can include just parts that are cleared and cleared away. So is that acceptable, Mr. Sewell?
This is David Sewell. That is acceptable to me.
Okay. Is that acceptable, Ms. Sommerfeld?
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I think it might be easier if when, like you were showing in the, like Maggie was saying about the adding this it to the note, that 45-foot open space setback will include no building, or the building cannot be extended into this or something like that.
This is David Sewell, and I can easily add that.
Okay, Ms. Sommerfeld, would you restate your vote and your delegation item?
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. we approve, or Parks and Rec approves with delegation to revisit the note at the north west corner of the subject property.
Okay, Ms. Sommerfeld, I prefer you just state the note that you want on there, because this is the time when we've revisited it and the delegation should be clear what the applicant needs to do.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parker. Can I think about it a minute then?
Well, I think what we've discussed is that the note would identify that structures cannot be built in the open, in the open space setback.
That is correct.
With the exception of fencing.
That is correct. And there would be view fencing where there is the open space setback, correct, Mr. Sewell?
Madam Chair, this is David Sewell. Yes, ma'am.
So the note could say, and if you want to clarify, if you want to say, Ms. Sommerfeld, if you want to say that the delegation is to clarify the note regarding no structures built in the 45-foot setback buffer except fencing, you can say it that way. And then if you slightly want to modify it, that's fine.
That's fine.
Okay. Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. I approve. Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves with delegation to verify the IDO date on the note on the site plan. That is correct. And
Madam Chair, this is Jay Rodenbeck. We also need them to add the project and application numbers to the site plan. And they did not include a code enforcement signature block for code enforcement to sign. I'm seeing here if they got it here on the infrastructure list. So they just need to add the code enforcement signature block to their site plan and the project and application number.
Okay, so I'm gonna clarify my vote. This is Chair Wolfley. I vote to approve with delegation to verify the correct date of the IDO. Is the applicable IDO is noted on the site plan, the project and application numbers are on the site plan, and the code enforcement is added to the signature block. And that will be for 8 weeks. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for your patience, and thank you, Ms. Sommerfeld. I appreciate you getting that worked out. Let's now move to the plat, and this will be the one that has the infrastructure list, and I'm assuming, Mr. Rodenbeck, we would require an IIA with that one. And a DXF file, correct?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. This is a preliminary plat, so we'll need that for the final plat.
Thank you,
don't need
sir.
Anything.
Yep. I lost track of that. Okay. All right. For item number three is the preliminary plat, the waiver, and the temporary deferral of sidewalk. So I will ask each board member to vote to approve or deny those applications and the associated infrastructure list. If you're accepting delegation, please summarize that delegation and the time needed.
This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. I vote for approval of the three items and the associated infrastructure list in item three with delegation for payment of the pro rata. In terms of time frame, we could do 12 weeks on that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Continue voting.
This is Charles Maestas with Code Enforcement. I vote to approve item number three and all three items within.
Bill Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, I vote to approve item three.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve. Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves with delegation for final sign-off.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. This is a preliminary plat, so there are no signatures. This could be a finding. Water Authority's comment about PRERETA could be a finding, but there is no final sign-off for the preliminary plat.
You mean there's no delegation?
Exactly. Yeah, that would have to be addressed as a finding.
Okay. Yeah, I would appreciate hearing that when we were talking about that with Mr. Carter. Mr. Carter, does that work for you if it's a finding of the approval?
That's fine for the water authority. Could you explain how that would work real quick?
Okay. Mr. Rodenbeck, do you want to take that up?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. So it would be addressed, or it would have to be addressed per the finding. It would not be there's no signatures for the preliminary plat. So this is just an approval. But as a way to condition preliminary plats, we can add a finding to the notice of decision for the preliminary plat, which would require the PRERETA.
That's the plan for water. I understand that.
And this is Maggie Golden. Just to clarify, that would be all of this will come back at final plat. And so they will not get their final plat signature if they haven't met all of their conditions. And I don't know if Mr. Rodenbeck addressed this or not, but I believe we have an infrastructure list to sign as well. And so that's the thing that will require signatures for the preliminary plat.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. This is the infrastructure list. This is what's being signed today, if approved.
This is a blame for the water authority. I'm okay with revising my approval to remove the delegation. On the understanding, there's going to be a finding regarding the PRERETA, and that we'll be signing final plat upon payment of that PRERETA. Thank you.
Okay, and this is Chair Wolfley, and my motion is also amended to be clear that it is just for approval. There is a consensus vote to approve item 3 and project PR 2020-4457 and the associated and applications preliminary plat SD 2021-25, waiver VA 2021-33, temporary deferral of sidewalk VA 2021-34, and the associated infrastructure list dated today because the application meets all the applicable requirements of IDO and DPN. Okay, Mr. Sewell, thank you very much for your patience, and thanks for everyone for your patience. For some reason, this particular parcel has just had a lot of complications, even though it's a fairly small piece of land, but I'm sure the homes will be lovely, and we'll all be glad we worked through all these details. So thank you so much.
Thank you so very much.